Let us open the Holy Scriptures to Romans chapter 12. This morning we will read the entire chapter, all of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though the grace given, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless, and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Here we end our reading of the Holy Scriptures. On the basis of this passage and the entirety of the Scriptures, we return to Lord's Day 12 and resume our consideration of the office of believer explained to us in question and answer 32. Question 32 asks, "But why art thou called a Christian?" "Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name." Now what follows is the portion of the Lord's Day we consider this morning. "And present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him." Beloved congregation, we come back to Lord's Day 12, and we do so with eagerness, for we come back to the office of believer, that fundamental office in the New Testament church which every true Christian united to Jesus Christ possesses and is called to function in. And we now turn to the second dimension of the office of believer, that is the priesthood of all believers. We've seen that our Lord Jesus Christ, in his office of mediator, is the chief prophet of his people, the only high priest of his people, and the eternal king over his people. And we, who are partakers of his anointing by faith, We are prophets under Christ, but we are also priests under Christ who are called to carry out a priestly ministry in the relationship of fellowship that God has established with us in Jesus Christ. We have been called out of darkness and into the marvelous light of God. We have been called into the saving fellowship of God's dear Son. And we are given now a calling as God's friend servants. Part of that calling was to function as His friend prophet, confessing His name in the world. And now we're going to look at another function of the Christian in this world as we live in fellowship with our God. We are God's friend priests who are called to consecrate the entirety of our being and the entirety of our life to the service and glory of our sovereign God. We are friend priests in the covenant of grace. And as God's friend priests, we are called to carry out especially two services for the glory of God: sacrifice and intercession. We saw how the two main works of Christ, our high priest, were sacrifice and intercession. Likewise, we who are priests in the service of Christ are called to offer sacrifices and to intercede. But we must see the fundamental difference between Christ's work as our high priest and our work as priests under Christ. Christ came and offered that one perfect atoning sacrifice that takes away our sins. And that sacrifice of Christ has put an end to all bloody sacrifices. The sacrifice that the Christian priest is called to offer is a sacrifice of thankfulness in response to that perfect sacrifice that Christ has offered for us, His people. Christ is our intercessor at God's right hand, who daily prays for us, His people, daily brings before the throne of grace our needs. We are called to be intercessors who pray for one another on the basis of the finished work of Christ for the church. And so you see the fundamental difference. Though our work as priests under Christ resembles the work of our high priest because we are partakers of His anointing, there is that fundamental difference. Christ's work as our priest obtains and applies to us our salvation. Our work as priests is our thankful response to the saving work Christ has accomplished for us. And so we're going to look at a very beautiful dimension of the office of believer. A beautiful dimension of our office that really encompasses all of our life as Christians in this world. As Christians in this world, we are prophets, yes, but we are also called to be priests who consecrate our entire being to the glory and service of God. And so that we may be instructed in this calling, let us attend to Lord's Day 12, that particular portion of Lord's Day 12, under the theme, the priesthood of all believers. In the 3 points here, we're going to look at 3 main aspects of our priestly calling. First, we're going to look at an offering of living sacrifice. As priests, we are called to offer ourselves as living sacrifices of thanks unto God. Secondly, as priests, we are called to engage in a ministry of intercessory prayer. And finally, to sum it all up, we will see that the life of the Christian priest is a life of daily drawing near to God, the priesthood of all believers. Question and answer 32 of the Catechism summarizes the entire task of the Christian priest with this beautiful statement, that I present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him. That is what it means to be a Christian priest, in essence. Now we see that this idea of the Catechism is lifted from Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so to begin, we're going to march through the different elements of Romans 12, verse 1, and unpack what that means, so that we can have a full-orbed perspective, a full-orbed view of our calling as friend priests of God in the covenant of grace. And so first, Romans 12, verse 1, tells us that Christian priests are called to present their bodies as living sacrifices. What does that mean? Well, the Catechism correctly interprets body to mean myself. That's what the Catechism says. I present myself. The idea is that I present my entire earthly life, all that I am, my whole being, as a sacrifice of thankfulness to God. This is in harmony with what we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, which says, ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have been purchased with the blood of Christ, and therefore our calling is to thankfully offer all that we are and all that we have in His service for His glory. We are to offer ourselves as a sacrifice, Romans 12, verse 1 says. We understand, of course, that the meaning of sacrifice here is figurative and spiritual. The calling of the Christian is not to climb upon a stone altar and let his blood run upon that altar for the glory of God. No, the calling is to offer his whole being as a spiritual sacrifice. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 emphasizes that for us. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says this, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Christians are in holy priesthood under Christ. And now, this is the calling of the Christian priest. Peter goes on, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Our spiritual sacrifice is the laying down of our entire life and being for the glory and praise of God. Now, Romans 12, verse 1 goes on to describe that spiritual sacrifice as a living sacrifice. And there are a couple of ideas packed into that word living. In the first place, a living sacrifice is to be distinguished from the dying sacrifices of the Old Testament. The Christian offers himself as a living sacrifice in distinction from the Old Testament sacrifices, which involved the killing of the sacrificial victim and the spilling of that victim's blood as a sign, as a picture of the atonement necessary for sin. Christ's one sacrifice on the cross has put an end to such bloody sacrifices, for Christ's one sacrifice on the cross made perfect and fully sufficient atonement that covers the sins of all of God's elect people. The ministry of sacrifice to which the Christian is called is not a ministry of bloody atoning sacrifice, but is a noble spiritual ministry of consecrating one's entire life to the glory of God. That's a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves as sacrifices to God by living unto Him. Now, of course, part of that living unto God means dying to self, dying to sin, renouncing my own will, putting away the deeds of the flesh. But the heart, the heartbeat of the Christian's priestly ministry is living, living out of the new life of Christ and living unto God, living unto the glory of Christ, our high priest. It is, as Romans 6 says, walking in newness of life, living unto God. That is the living sacrifice that the redeemed, spiritually quickened saint is called to offer. So that's the first idea of living. But secondly, living also carries the idea of lasting or continuous. That we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices emphasizes this is a lifetime of sacrifice. It's a lifelong sacrificial ministry. Unlike those Old Testament sacrifices where that lamb was brought and that lamb was killed and its blood was spilled and that was it. It was a one-time sacrifice. The Christian is called to offer himself continually upon the altar of God's service. He is a living sacrifice, not a one-time sacrifice, but a lifetime sacrifice. Not a periodic sacrifice, but a continuous sacrifice of thanks. So that's what's packed into the expression living sacrifice. But now Romans 12 verse 1 goes on to describe that sacrifice as holy and acceptable unto God. What does that mean? And how can that be? You recall in the Old Testament how the priests had to consecrate themselves to God, and they had to offer a sacrifice that was without blemish. And that pictured the reality that God can only accept that which is perfectly holy, for He is the supremely holy one. How is it possible then for the Christian priest, who is still a sinner, to present himself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? The answer, of course, is not that the priest is in himself acceptable or that he is in himself a holy sacrifice. The answer is Christ. Christ. Romans 12 verse 1 directs us to Christ when it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as living sacrifices. By the mercies of God, that is, through and on account of the mercy of God. And 1 Peter 2, verse 5 brings that out even more clearly. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, going back to that verse, we saw that the Christian church is a spiritual priesthood called to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so this is how we must understand the living sacrifice of the Christian being holy and acceptable to God. The Christian priest ministers as a priest clothed in the garments of salvation by grace. He carries out his thankful service wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness. The Christian priest is holy and acceptable to God in Christ and because of Christ's sacrifice. And therefore, the Christian priest's work is acceptable in the eyes of God because it is sanctified by the grace of Christ. Our priestly ministry is a spiritual ministry performed by the Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy and acceptable to God in Christ. Now finally, the last phrase of Romans 12 verse 1. The apostle describes this presentation of ourselves as living sacrifices, and he calls it our reasonable service. What does that mean? Well, the word reasonable here in the text literally means pertaining to the mind. It's the Greek word from which our word logical comes from. Our logical service. And the idea is this. This service of thankfully offering ourselves as a living sacrifice of praise to God, this service is what logically follows from the ministry of Christ our High Priest and what He has done for us through the laying down of His life to take away our sins and to save us and bring us into God's fellowship. This is our logical service in response to Christ's service for us. The Christian whose heart and mind is focused on the mercies of God and is fixed upon Christ, what logically follows from that is that I present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him. That is the believer's reasonable, logical service. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. That's what flows from the mercies of God. And thus the Catechism is entirely accurate when it interprets Romans 12 verse 1 as presenting myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him. That word thankfulness isn't found in Romans 12 verse 1, but the Catechism is understanding the overall teaching of that verse and recognizes that the Christian's reasonable service is thankfulness. A life of gratitude lived for the glory of God. The entire Christian life, then, his reasonable service, is a continual thank offering. The Christian doesn't offer sin offerings. Christ has offered the sin offering. And now, because of what Christ has done, the Christian priest offers himself as a continual thank offering in response to what Christ has done. You and I, beloved, have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ, redeemed from sin and death, brought into the bond of God's covenant, made His covenant friend servants. Now our response in thankfulness is to offer all of our redeemed self upon the altar of God's service. Our response is to offer all of our redeemed self back to God as a sacrifice of thanks. Jesus is a complete Savior. Our response to His complete salvation is complete consecration to Him. That's the idea of Romans 12 verse 1 and the Christian's calling to offer himself as a living sacrifice of thanks. Now, before we narrow our focus and look at a few concrete ways that the Christian goes about this offering of himself as a living sacrifice, let's first make a couple applications, drawing a couple implications out of Romans 12 verse 1. First, something striking to notice. The Christian's priestly office resembles Christ's office as high priest, in that the Christian is both priest and sacrifice. That's striking, isn't it? We saw that in connection with Christ. Christ is the perfect priest and the perfect sacrifice. But now, the Christian who partakes of Christ's anointing has a very unique ministry under Christ. The Old Testament priest was not the offering, but just the priest. But the Christian is both the priest and the sacrifice. The Christian is the priest who is called to offer upon the altar of God's service himself and all that he is in thankfulness for what God has done for him. We've already noticed the essential difference. The Christian priest does not engage in any kind of atoning sacrifice. There is no merit at all whatsoever in the offering of oneself to God. It is a thank offering. The Christian priesthood is the most noble, the most beautiful, the most spiritually excellent priesthood under Christ. It is a royal priesthood, instituted to show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into marvelous light. To use the words of 1 Peter 2, verse 9. What a beautiful calling we have to be priests who daily offer ourselves in thankfulness to God. But a second implication. Let us appreciate the great privilege that is ours. It is a privilege to minister in this way. It is a privilege to lay down our lives as sacrifices, living sacrifices of thanks to God. That must sink into our hearts and minds, because our sinful nature is so obsessed with self. Our sinful nature thinks the good life is me getting what I want. But the teaching of the Scriptures, the teaching of Romans 12 verse 1, is the exact opposite. The good life is the life of giving yourself as a thank offering to God. That's the meaning of life. The meaning of life is glorifying God for the salvation He has given you in Jesus Christ. The good life is the life of daily surrendering yourself and devoting yourself to God and His glory, employing all of your gifts, your talents, your resources, your time for Him. As the first Lord's Day of the Catechism says, you're not your own, but you belong, body and soul, in life and in death, unto your faithful Savior, your faithful High Priest, Jesus Christ. You exist for Him now, Christian. And this is how you must see yourself. You are both the priest and the sacrifice, called to engage in that ministry of daily giving yourself as a thank offering to Him. In our day and age, we have a crisis of meaning. Our society is a society characterized by distress, meaninglessness, forlornness. That's because man has rejected the gospel. And in rejecting the gospel, he rejects the only thing that gives meaning to life. The only thing that gives meaning to life is God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. And the only good life there is the life lived out of that grace pouring yourself out on the altar of God's service in thankfulness to Him. And so we see that the Christian life should not be thought of as a life marked by ease and convenience. The text doesn't call us to offer ourselves to God on the lazy boy armchair, but calls us to offer ourselves to God upon an altar, the altar of His service. The metaphor for the Christian life is sacrifice. Sacrifice isn't always pleasant. Sacrifice isn't always fun. Sacrifice isn't always the easiest way to go. Sometimes it hurts. The Christian priest is called to give of himself for the glory of God. Self-sacrifice in thankfulness to Him. But that is the joyful and the glorious and the good life. The life lived in thankfulness to God. One more implication. Another beautiful distinction between the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood is this. The Christian priest, as he offers himself daily as a living sacrifice of praise, is a daily memorial of the perfect work of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 verse 3 says this about the Old Testament priesthood and sacrifices. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. The continual sin offerings of the Old Testament were a constant reminder to the Old Testament people, sin isn't paid for. You still need the mediator, the Savior, to come to save you from your sins. But when the Christian presents himself as a living sacrifice of thanks, day in and day out, he is a memorial to the finished work of Christ. When the Christian priest lives that life of gratitude unto the glory of God, he is a daily memorial that Christ has finished his work. For the finished work of Christ is the source and foundation of that priestly ministry of the Christian. And that's a beautiful idea, isn't it? Day in and day out, as we strive to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, as we present ourselves as living sacrifices of praise, we are a memorial to the finished work of Christ. And that brings glory. That brings glory to God. Now, to finish up the first point, I want to now focus our attention on a few concrete ways that the Christian goes about this priestly ministry. Five concrete ways that the Christian offers himself as a living sacrifice of thanks. Now, much could be said here, but I choose these five things because Scripture designates each of these five things as sacrifices. And we'll see that. So first, the Christian priest offers himself as a living sacrifice of thanks by offering to God a humble, broken, and a contrite heart. The Christian priest offers a humble, broken, contrite heart. An important part of the Christian's daily offering himself as a living sacrifice of thanks is the daily acknowledging and confessing of our sins and casting ourselves upon the mercy of God. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And so that's an important part of our priestly ministry. Daily bringing our prayers of confession before the throne of grace. Humbling ourselves, acknowledging our sins, and casting ourselves upon the mercy of God. A broken and a contrite heart, the psalmist says, this is the sacrifice of God. That is a sacrifice well-pleasing in His sight. The Christian priest always comes to God poor and needy with that open hand of faith to receive God's free mercy. This is a living sacrifice, well-pleasing in God's sight, when His people daily withdraw their trust from themselves and put their trust in Christ alone, the living sacrifice that is well-pleasing in the sight of God. Is the child of God humbly confessing his sins, acknowledging his unworthiness, and pleading for forgiveness only upon the basis of Christ's atoning work on the cross. And so let us be serious and diligent in that aspect of our priestly calling, to humble ourselves, to confess our sins, to go before the throne of grace confidently seeking mercy on the basis of the finished work of our High Priest, Jesus Christ. Second, another concrete way that we offer ourselves as living sacrifices of thanks. The Christian priest offers himself as such a sacrifice by worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Worship is a fundamental element of our priestly ministry. This comes out in Romans 12, verse 1. In that last phrase, reasonable service. We looked at the word reasonable. But that word service could just as well be translated worship. In fact, that Greek word is what our word liturgy or liturgical comes from. Service and worship service is the idea. This is our thankful worship. We are called to offer ourselves a living sacrifice of thanks to God by engaging in worship, worship of God. Another passage that highlights this for us is Hebrews 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15, where the writer to the Hebrews says, "By Him, that is Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." The sacrifice of praise, worship, singing the psalms, bringing to God our prayers from sincere faith, declaring His glory from the heart and with the mouth. Worship, worship. Worship in every area of our lives. We're called to offer ourselves living sacrifices. We don't just do that 2 hours on the Sabbath day, though that's an important part. But as a living sacrifice, we are to be living a worshipful life. We are to be worshiping God day in and day out in our thoughts, in our conduct, in the words that we speak. The whole Christian life is a living doxology of praise. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, well-known verse. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it to the glory of God." Worship. But the public worship services of the church are very important. This is a very special part of our priestly ministry. For here, the priesthood under Christ, the Christian priesthood, assembles that together they may engage in this worshipful ministry of offering themselves as one, as a living sacrifice of praise to God. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, we go back to that verse again. Highlights the very special place that the worship services of the church occupy. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices." You see, beloved, we are both the temple and the priesthood. The church is not simply a brick and mortar building, it is a spiritual house that is erected wherever the spiritual priesthood gathers to engage in that priestly ministry of offering the sacrifice of thanks. In the house of prayer, the royal priesthood gathers to offer that sacrifice of thanks. And that sacrifice of thanks consists of all of the elements of our public worship: singing, prayer, preaching, giving of the alms, and all of the rest. That is our sacrifice of thanks. And therefore, an application that rolls out of that is the calling to diligently attend the worship services of the church. When you're not here, there's a lively stone missing. When that spiritual house is set up and that holy priesthood gathers to bring that sacrifice of thanks. When members of the congregation are missing, there are priests that are missing. There are voices that are absent from that doxology of praise that the church brings for the glory of God. And so our calling is to diligently frequent the church of God, that as a spiritual priesthood, together we may offer ourselves as living sacrifices of praise. Third, another concrete way that we carry out this calling. The Christian priest offers himself as a living sacrifice of thanks by continuing in fervent prayer. After all, prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. And the Christian offers himself as a living sacrifice of thanks by continuing day in and day out in that chief part of thankfulness. Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands, referring to prayer, as the evening sacrifice. There the scriptures describe prayer as a sacrifice of thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 calls us to pray without ceasing. There's the living sacrifice of unceasing prayer. We know what that means. We've looked at that recently. That living a life of prayer is living consciously before the face of God in ongoing communication with Him, praising Him throughout the day, thanking Him, asking of Him for the things that you have need of, the spontaneous speech and overflow of the believing heart, regularly resorting to drink out of the fountain of all good. That's the life of prayer. And that life of prayer is a living sacrifice of thanks to God. Fourth, the Christian priest offers himself as a living sacrifice of thanks to God by walking in good works and devoting himself to loving service of the church and God's people. Scripture teaches that the loving service of the believer and the good works that the believer performs by the operation of the Holy Spirit in his heart, that is an important part of his thankful service to God for the salvation accomplished by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13. Verse 16 states this. Hebrews 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, and communicate there means to fellowship, to share, to give to one another. To do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The doing of good and the communication, the communion of the saints is described as a sacrifice of thanks that is well-pleasing in the sight of God. Another verse in this regard, Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ demonstrated his love to us by giving himself to be that perfect sacrifice for our sins. Now, the Spirit-empowered, thankful response of the believer is to give himself as a sacrifice of thanks. And an important way that the believer does that is by devoting himself in loving service to the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us how we are to show love to him. John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is a demonstration of love and thankfulness. Also this, 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There's Christian service. It's Christ-like, self-sacrificial love for the brethren. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice of thanks to God by offering ourselves in Christ-like love and self-sacrifice for the good of the brother or the sister in the congregation. That's what Christian love looks like. That's what a living sacrifice looks like. Loving, self-sacrificial service, employing your gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. And if you browse through Romans 12, that's what you see. Really, the body of Romans 12 unpacks and explains the teaching of the first verse. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, and this is how. And Romans 12 states so many different ways that the believer thanks God through serving his fellow members of the church. By being kind towards them, verse 10. By being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, verse 11. Verse 12, rejoicing, being patient, continuing in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, being given to hospitality, welcoming one another into your homes, showing love in that way. And on the chapter goes. Loving service, good works towards the brethren is part of this offering of oneself as a living sacrifice. Finally, fifth, a concrete way that we offer ourselves as living sacrifices is by giving to the causes of the kingdom and to the poor. Scripture teaches that almsgiving is a pleasing sacrifice of thanks. That comes out in Hebrews 13, verse 16, which we just looked at. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices are well-pleasing in God's eyes. Part of communicating is giving. But that comes out even more explicitly in Philippians 4, verse 18. Philippians 4, verse 18, in this verse, Paul reflects on a gift that the Philippian congregation gave to him in his time of need when he was in Rome. And this gift was delivered to him by the hand of Epaphroditus. But notice what Paul calls that gift that was given to him. Philippians 4, verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You see, the giving of alms and the giving for the causes of the kingdom and the church is part of the way we express our thankfulness to God for the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. Giving in the public worship services of the church is an act of worship and is an expression of thankfulness. And our motive for giving, our motive should not be mere obligation, should not be merely to keep the elders off of our back, but should be the overflow of thankfulness for the gift of Jesus Christ. And so we see in those five things that there is much content to the living sacrifice of praise that we are to bring to God. That broken and contrite heart, the confession of our sins, fervent worship, constant prayer, loving service and good works in the communion of the saints, and also giving to the causes of the kingdom and the relief of the poor. All those are elements of our living sacrifice of thanks. We must hasten on, briefly look at the next aspect of the priestly ministry of believers, which is a ministry of intercessory prayer. We're first going to have a general overview of this aspect of the priestly office of the Christian. What is intercessory prayer? Well, as we've noticed before, intercession is simply a prayer that you offer to God on behalf of another in the interest of that person's good. In the Old Testament, the second main work of the priesthood was to offer prayers on behalf of God's people. And those prayers were connected with the sacrifices they offered. They offered that sacrifice for sin. And then on the basis of the atonement for sin, they offered prayers. They prayed for God's blessing upon Israel. In the New Testament, the spiritual priesthood of the church, Christians likewise offer prayers of intercession for their fellow saints. But those prayers of intercession are based upon the one perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, accomplished once for all of God's people. So the Christian priest is called to pray not only for self, but to pray for others, for others. The Bible mandates that. Let's see that a moment. There's a biblical mandate to be busy in intercessory prayer. And we find that mandate, perhaps surprisingly, in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus himself, when he teaches his disciples how to pray, teaches them to intercede for one another. How? It comes out in the plural pronouns of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus doesn't say, give us, or rather, give me this day my daily bread. He teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And in so doing, he instructs us to be busy in intercessory prayer for the needs of one another, not just ourselves. The biblical mandate to intercessory prayer comes out also in the teaching of the apostles. There is an apostolic example, an apostolic request, and an apostolic command to engage in intercessory prayer. Apostolic example. Consider Colossians 1, verse 3, where the Apostle Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The Apostle interceded for members of the church. There's also the apostolic request that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. The apostle requested intercessory prayer be made for him. He judged it to be beneficial and helpful to him to know that brothers and sisters in the Lord were interceding for him before the throne of grace. And then also apostolic command. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 calls believers to make prayers and intercessions for all kinds of men, for kings and those in authority and so forth. And so this ministry of intercessory prayer is not something we should see as being incidental to the Christian life or something that is optional. No, it is an integral part of our priestly office. We are to be busy in praying for one another. Now briefly, what is the content of our intercessory prayers? Sometimes we might wonder, how do I pray for my brother, my sister in the church? What do I say? What should be the content? Well, here we can go back to the Lord's Prayer. And just as the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray for all things that I need for body and soul, the Lord's Prayer also teaches what I am to ask for with regard to my brother or sister in the church. The Lord's Prayer furnishes us with a broad spectrum of contents for our intercessory prayers as well. In fact, you can go through each of the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer and pray them as intercessions. Consider briefly the first petition. Intercessory prayer that God's name be hallowed and not profaned by others. Psalm 107, verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. There's an intercession along the lines of the first petition. We pray for our fellow saints that God would be glorified in them, glorified through their confession and their walk. We pray for the church that God's name may never be blasphemed, but only ever hallowed on our account. First petition, intercessions. Second petition, thy kingdom come. Intercessory prayer can be made that God will cause his kingdom to come through the work of the church. Christ's kingdom comes through the preaching of the gospel, through the gathering of the elect, through the building of that spiritual house, by the gathering of those lively stones and fitting them into the place that God has ordained for them. And so we pray, let the gospel go forth. Bless the cause of missions and evangelism. Cause that the gospel may go forth and reach those lost sheep who yet wander in darkness. Intercessory prayer for the coming of the kingdom. Third petition, thy will be done. is an intercessory prayer that God's will may be done not only by me, but also by others. In fact, Lord's Day 49, in its explanation of the third petition, brings that out. Which is the third petition, the Catechism says? Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven, that is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring, obey thy will. And so we intercede for our brethren in the church, that God would give them the grace to carry out God's will of command. We intercede for our brethren in the church by praying that God will realize his will of decree and use even the wicked world for the good of the church. An example of that would be 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, where Paul calls the church to pray for all men, including kings and those in authority. And part of that is praying that God would use them in order to allow the church to live peaceably in all godliness. An intercessory prayer that God's will be done even through wicked men. Fourth, we pray not only for our bread, but we pray for the bread of one another. This implies that we have a concern for the earthly needs of the brother and not just ourselves. Without being busybodies, we concern ourselves with the needs and the troubles that are in the lives of our fellow saints in the congregation, and we bring those needs before the throne of grace. Fifth petition, intercessions. Yes, we are to come to God and humble ourselves and confess our own sins. But part of our intercessory ministry is praying for the spiritual well-being and salvation of others. And part of this, then, is that we pray for the forgiveness of the sins of the brother who sins against us. Not with a haughty spirit as the Pharisee prayed, I have this wicked brother over there who's mistreated me, Father, forgive him. But with the humble spirit knowing, I'm no better than that brother who has mistreated me. And so I pray for his forgiveness, and I pray, Father, that thou wilt give me a forgiving spirit. We intercede for one another just as Jesus Christ interceded for us when we were his enemies. And he prayed, Father, forgive them. Finally, sixth petition. There are plenty of intercessions to be made here. We intercede for the deliverance of that individual brother or sister who we know is suffering greatly in the congregation, that brother or sister that we know is struggling mightily with a besetting sin, that brother or sister that is enduring trials and hardships. We pray for them. We bring their needs before the throne of grace. We intercede for the church, troubled as she is by warfare without and within, that she not succumb to her enemies, but that the Lord Jesus would give her the victory. Intercessory prayer. It's part of our priestly ministry. Now, very briefly, to wrap it all up, the delightful glory of the Christian life is that it is a life of drawing near to God through Christ, our High Priest. The work of Christ has given every believer access to God. Christ is the new and living way through the veil into the most holy place, so that every child of God has direct access to God. What an excellent and glorious privilege this is, that the Christian priest, through Jesus Christ, may daily draw near to God, abide in his fellowship, tarry in his presence, enjoy him and his blessing. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2 verse 13 says. And so, beloved, let us draw near daily, delighting to draw near. Let us live before the face of God, and may it be our joy each day to offer ourselves as that living sacrifice of thanks to the God who gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice that took away all our sins, gave us everlasting life, constituted us as heirs of the everlasting kingdom, May it be our heartbeat to live thankfully for His glory. Amen. We thank Thee, Father, for this beautiful word from the Scriptures, instructing us in our calling to present ourselves as living sacrifices of thanks to Thee. Quicken our hearts by this word, that we may count it our delight so to do. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, whose work is the foundation of this ministry to which Thou hast called us. May we ever delight in His finished work. May we ever trust in Him for the full remission of our sins. And trusting in Him, may we consecrate our life as a thank offering to Thee. Hear us in mercy for His sake. Amen.